The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Sometimes obstacles can be our best friend. If we use those obstacles to motivate us to move forward. If you go through history, you can just read story after story of people who were confronted by huge obstacles in their life. And yet, they overcame those obstacles. In fact, those obstacles were a motivation to be able to become, to rise to a higher level and to be greater. You know, something that I have recognized that many times the people that aspire to greatness and acquire certain levels of achievement in this world are not the smartest people in the world. Now, I don't mean they're dumb. Okay? I'm not saying they're ignorant. In fact, they're not ignorant. They've been well educated in the right areas. But what I have seen is that it's not always, and most of the time, it's not even close to being the people that are the smartest that rise to levels of leadership and achievement. They're the people that had to work hard and recognize how important it is to put your hand to the plow and keep moving forward. Instead of those who are highly intelligent, and sometimes as highly intelligent people, it just comes so easy for them that they get lazy. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence here. You know, praise God. But what I am trying to say is that it takes effort to do anything important, including serving God. Including serving our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And being a part of His kingdom, building up, growing. Turning stumbling blocks into stepping stones is very important. You know, one of the first things that happened with the children of Israel when they left the wilderness and went into the promised land, crossed over the Jordan River, they came to the first city that they had to encounter and fight on that side of the river was Jericho. And Jericho was a huge walled city. Now, everything that I can read about it, their wall was built on a huge platform, earthen area that they had built up to about 46 feet high. Now, somebody, is this about 25 feet to the top of the church? Is that, I know somebody's been up there, surely. I haven't. 25, 30, something like that. Okay, so even higher than that. That was where the second part of the wall started. On the bottom here below, where the earthen area sloped up so that those who were coming against them, if they got through the first wall, they'd have to run uphill to the second wall. But that first wall down here was, it was about 26 feet high, stone wall. And then on top of that was bricks made of clay, and it was about 15 feet higher. And these, both of these were about 6 to 12 feet, they don't know exactly, thick. So up on top, clear up on top, then they had another wall. It was another 15 feet. So we're talking about a wall. This thing was 75 to 100 feet high. Now, if this is just 25 feet, you get four times this. Can you imagine looking up the top of that wall? It was huge. It was intimidating. And yet, in this story, as they marched around and they did exactly what God told them to, the walls, of course, we all know the walls came tumbling down, right? But you know, in our thoughts, they just fell down. Well, historians say, in all appearance, shows that those walls were pushed down. It looks like they fell straight down. How many saw the Twin Towers when they came down? Straight down. Imploded. There's a lot to that, too. It went straight down. And those walls went straight down. Guess what? I think there were huge angels up there pushing those walls down. But regardless, the thing that was the obstacle, because they obeyed and they listened to God, the thing that was the obstacle became the stepping stones. The stumbling blocks became the stepping stones. And they stepped on those stones and went in and took the city. That's the attitude. That those who are going to take the enemy's territory have to have. If we're going to go in and take back what the enemy has stolen, if we're going to be able to recover our society, recover our area, recover our educational systems, recover our political system, we're going to have to go in recognizing that there's going to be obstacles, but those obstacles can be stepping stones. Amen. To victory. Yes. Amen? Amen? Turn with me Numbers chapter 13. Story everybody knows. This was before they went into the land. Beginning with verse 1, I'm sorry. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving you to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all them men who were heads of the children of Israel. All right. First of all, we see that these were leaders that were chosen. We're not just men out of each tribe, particular men. They were leaders. They had already risen to a position of leadership in their communities, and people respected them. This is important. Now, jump down to verse 16. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. They just gave that list above there. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are fortresses, forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob and near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. All right, we'll just stop right there. First of all, in order to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones, you have to be obedient to God. Obedience to God's will is the first thing that we want to look at. Moses was obedient to choose men. Those men were obedient to go out into the land and to spy out that land. Now listen, God didn't need those men to spy out the land to know whether there was fruit there or not, to know whether the cities were fortified, to know if there was a lot of forest area. He didn't need those guys to do that. Why did he send them out to spy out the land? I'd submit to you that he wanted them to see it for themselves. He wanted them to focus on the good things that was in that land. He wanted them to see the fruit of that land and how abundant it was and how wonderful it was. He wanted them to get excited about where they were going and what was going to happen. He expected them to come back with a good report and tell people, listen, yeah, there's giants in the land, but our God is with us. We can go in because there's great fruit and there's reward there. Anybody who tells you that God does not want to reward his people, he's not a God of reward, is a liar. They do not understand the word of God. It is very clear that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. He wants to reward you. He wants you to do things so he can reward you. That's why he sent those men into the land, so that they could see that there was going to be a great reward for going in and taking that land. Hallelujah. How many want the reward of the Lord?
Hallelujah.
I do. I want to be rewarded for my faithfulness. I want to be rewarded for understanding and knowing that God has good things for his people.
Yes, sir.
Right. And I'm a child of the Most High God. I believe that I deserve what God has for me.
That's right.
I believe you deserve what God has for you. Good things for your life.
That's
right. I may have heard stories of George Mueller. You heard of George Mueller? George Mueller was converted to Christ in the 1800s. And not too long after that, with some friends, they established orphanages in England. And one of the things that he decided he was never going to do, and you know, some people agree, some people disagree with his philosophy, but this is what he felt God wanted him to do, and that was never ask for money. Never, ever ask for money. How in the world do you operate a ministry if you don't ask people for help? Well, he did. In fact, during his lifetime, he raised over $7 million to support those kids. He ministered to almost 10,000 children during his lifetime. And they never, ever went without a meal. Now, there was times it was very close to being without a meal. The funds were depleted. They didn't have any food in the house. And guess what? Their Heavenly Father would come through for them. In fact, there's a particular time that I read about where he had a friend's daughter over that spent the night with them. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any food. And they got up in the morning, and the kids were getting ready for school. Mr. Mueller realized that something had to happen. So he grabbed the hand of the little girl that was spending the night, and he said, come and see what our Father's going to do. And they sat down at the table, and George Mueller began to pray. He said, Father God, our children need food. They're getting ready to go to school, and we are expecting you to provide. Right after his prayer, there was a knock on the door. The baker came to the door, and he said, Mr. Mueller, God woke me up at 2 a.m. this morning telling me that you needed some bread. So I've been up baking bread all night for you. Here's your bread. They sat down, they thanked God, they praised God. A few minutes later, the milkman knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, my milk cart just broke down outside of your orphanage. And it's full of milk. It'll spoil if I've got to get my cart to fixed, and you can have every bit of milk on my cart. They were fed. They received. Now, those are incredible stories. I'm not telling you that I want to live that close to the edge in my life. But those are incredible stories that should build our faith. And if you read anything about him, it's story after story just like that. And he really did hold to that, his commitment not to ask anybody for funds. But praise God. What I want you to understand this morning is not so much that we all should be living like George Mueller, but we should all have a commitment to serving God and hearing what he has said to us and serve him and recognize that he is our provider. So when he speaks to you about doing something, be obedient.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, he'll speak to me and tell me to do something that is not necessarily relevant to your life. Amen? He spoke to me and said, I want you to stop playing softball. That's not relevant to anybody else sitting in here. That was to me. That was for my benefit so that I could get closer to my God. And he'll speak to you and tell you to do things that are not relevant to anybody around you except you, but it draws you closer to God when you're obedient. So it's the obedience that we're talking about here. When you hear, you will hear from God. He will speak directly to your heart. And you can hear from him. You know, I've heard it said many times that people say God speaks to them, they're crazy. Well, I think you're crazy if God's not speaking to you. I got to flip that around because according to the New Testament, God has intentions to speak to everyone who is filled with his Spirit. Amen. And if you're not hearing the voice of God, there's something wrong. You don't have the right relationship because he wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you things. He's not going to tell you to go shoot the president, I'll tell you that. Do any crazy things. Most of what he speaks to you are things that will cause you to grow personally closer to him. Amen. 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 So obedience is that first thing. Number one is obedience. Let me read this scripture to you in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7:23 says this, "But this is what I command to them, saying, obey my voice. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that ye may be well, that it may be well with you." Amen. Okay, the second thing, we were reading this, we've already read through most of that, and that is if you want to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones, the first thing is obedience to God's will. The second thing is spy out the land. Now, what I mean by that is, count the cost. When you believe that God is speaking to you to do something, count the cost of whatever that is. You see, God sent them into the land so that they could see that there was good things in that land. But he also wanted them to see that there were some obstacles and that they were going to have to rely on him absolutely and totally. When they saw those giants in that land, they saw those fortified cities. Remember, they went to Jericho. They walked around in that city. They saw those walls. They looked up and they wondered, how in the world are we going to get inside that city? They saw the giants that were in the land. They saw all those things. They saw good things. They saw obstacles. So they were given the opportunity to weigh the cost. And the problem with them was they thought the cost was too high. What a shame when God calls a people to do something for his kingdom and many of them think that the cost is too high. 80% of those leaders said it's too expensive to go into the land. When we decide to do something for the kingdom of God, the first thing we start thinking about is what it's going to cost us. Right. Amen? Amen? There's nothing wrong with us counting the cost. I know what it's going to cost me. I knew what it was going to cost when we brought Pastor Ron Phillips and Ronnie here. Right. That's right. We knew what it was going to cost. It was a pretty heavy cost financially. Most churches in this area would not endeavor to take on that responsibility. That's right. And we didn't do it all by ourselves. We had help. We had people that were standing with us. But I want you to understand something, that anything that is worthwhile is going to be costly.
That's right.
It's going to cost you financially. It's going to cost you materially. It's going to cost you emotionally. For us to continue to grow this church, it's going to cost you. And if it's not costing you anything, there's something wrong.
That's right.
The cost is going to be different for individual people in this congregation. But it's going to cost. And it's worth it. That's what I want you to understand. It's well worth it. The grapes are huge. The fruit is good. The wine tastes great. The power is available. Hallelujah. Good stuff God has for us. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 says this, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I believe when God's people, every one of you sitting out here, when you set your mind to do the will of God, there is supernatural impartation that causes your mind to expand. Thank you, Pastor Chris. I'm glad you agree. The rest of you just want to stay stupid, huh? Come on. Oh, man. That was mean, wasn't it? I just... Supernatural impartation that causes your mind to expand. Hallelujah. Woo! There we got excited. Man, I knew this was an intelligent bunch. Man. Praise God. Luke 14:28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Hallelujah. God wants us to count the cost. Here's what George Mueller said was the secret to his success. He said, there was a day when I died utterly. I died to George Mueller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, his will. I died to the world, its approval, its censure. I died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied to show myself approved only to God. Wow, that's a man that's free, yes, truly free. Yes. No one could dictate to him what he was supposed to do. Right. He had heard from God. I believe we've all heard it said that God is, he doesn't care about your ability as much as he does your availability. Dr. Gordon, S.D. Gordon said this, we have nothing to do with how much ability we've got or how little, but with what we do with that we have. The man with great talent is apt to be puffed up, and the man with little talent to belittle the little. Poor fools. God gives it, much or little. Our part is to be faithful, doing the level best with every bit and every scrap that he has given us. If you make yourself available to God, I believe God expands your ability. You see, he gives every one of us gifts, talents. And we're imparted, giftings are imparted to each and every one of us when we receive Christ as our personal Savior. And if you use those gifts according to, if you read the whole scripture, you read teachings on talents and all the different teachings that Jesus gave, you realize that what Jesus was saying that is what you have, if you take it and you use it, it will expand. He'll give you more. So he wants us all to recognize that there is reward. Spy out the land, count the cost, but recognize, regardless of what the cost is, if God spoke to your heart to do it with all your might, all your strength, all your ability. And he will reward you. Obedience is the first thing. The second thing is spy out the land. Number three is keep moving. See, I think I read to verse 23. Then they came to the valley Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the clusters which the men of Israel cut down there. This was incredible fruit. You know, in Israel today, the place is, according to to those who visit on a pretty regular basis, the place is flourishing, the land of Israel. It was a desert not very many years ago. And now they're irrigating and crops are growing and fruit is being produced. They're supplying much of the vegetables and fruits for the whole Middle East in that, through Israel. Because God has done what he prophesied that he would do, and that is cause them to flourish in these last days. That land is a very fertile land. And I'm sure if we could just see some of those grapes and those pomegranates and that fruit that they brought back, we would be amazed at the size of those things. Incredible size. Some of the things that are growing in Israel today, the size of them, there's reports that it's just phenomenal. They don't know how it's happening. Well, I do. I know exactly how it's happening. They're trying to figure out they're scientifically trying to analyze how is it that these Israeli people are growing these fruits and vegetables because their size is incredible. They don't realize it's the hand of God. It's God's blessing, his promise that what he was going to do for his people. That's what we want to catch hold of. Listen, when Jacob went out into a famine and planted, the Word of God says he received a hundredfold return in the middle of a famine. It doesn't matter what we're planting. I don't care what the circumstances all around us. I don't care whether everything is falling apart. If we plant when God says to plant in the middle of a famine, we're going to produce. Hallelujah. It's great. It's about being in God's will, not what's happening. Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Those things which are seen, they're just temporary. But the eternal things, they're powerful. Their will. They're God's will. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. These men were constantly on the move. According to what we just read there, they really didn't let any grass grow under their feet. They moved across that land, and they covered pretty much every area that God told Abraham would be the land that he would give him. And I believe you can only turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones if you keep moving. Right. You see, it's very easy for a church, and I think we've fallen into that a little bit ourselves, to just get comfortable with our past successes. You know, the past things that we've done, the things that God brought us out of that little church. He took us to Tupper's Plains. We went to Chester. You know, it was a journey. Right. We went out into the wilderness. Some of you may not have felt like it, but it was true. When we left that church, we left everything behind. We did exactly what Abraham did. We followed what God said, and we burned our bridges behind us. So we went forward, and we were on a journey, and that was wonderful. Praise God. All kinds of wonderful things have happened on that journey. But I want to tell you, when we got in this building, and I'm not the only one that experienced this as a pastor and congregation, when you meet your ultimate goal sometimes, man, we're satisfied. We're here. We're going to sit down now and rest. There's no place to rest. There's no time for rest. There's too much to do. When you sit down to rest, when you start looking around, if you sit down to rest, you're going to look at the stumbling blocks that are before you, and they become huge obstacles. And it's very hard to get back up and keep moving. So one of the important things is that we just keep moving. We got to keep moving. We got to keep recognizing, hey, there is much to be done. These things that we're doing in the community, they're important. You need to be a part of them. We're calling you to step up and help. Give your time, give your resources, but give your time and your prayer and your effort. Get into it. God's doing a work. There are great things to be accomplished. Mm. Listen, I want you to understand something. It's not a shame to stub your toe, fall down, even get knocked down by some of these blocks, some of these obstacles. But let's not stay there. You know, I used to say, and I need to get back to it, we're either up or we're getting up. We're either up or we're getting up. You're going to get knocked down from time to time. But we're going to get up. A couple years ago, Tammy and I watched the movie Amazing Grace. Has anybody in here seen that movie? Good movie. If you haven't, you should get that movie. It's a very good movie. Amazing Grace is a true story of William Wilberforce. Of course, there is a college not too far from here. I don't know exactly how far it is, but it was established, and it's established in his name to honor him, Wilberforce College. But he was a privileged British parliamentary member who received Jesus. I mean, this man truly got saved and received Christ as his personal Savior. And he was compelled to fight against the powerful nation and the powers that be to stop the slave trade. Thousands and thousands of people were dying. They would pack 600 slaves on a ship, and by the time they got to it from Africa, the Horn of Africa, by the time they got to England, of those 600, there was only about 200 left. They were miserably treated and mistreated. And my God, I would hate to have to answer for that kind of treatment of anybody. Doesn't matter. But this man believed that God was calling him to do something about it, and he fought for years and years and years, 20 long years. And finally, after 20 years, he and his friends broke through and were able to pass legislation that stopped the slave trade in England. It ultimately came to that point. It was a huge stumbling block for him, but he stayed with it, and he used it as a stepping stone. Not only did he stop the slave trade, but he used that as a stepping stone to move into other areas of concern, the way people were being treated in the factories and the job place, the job market. And he passed legislation for people to be treated properly and proper laws in place in the nation and community. He was able to reach out to the poor, and he passed legislation for people to be ministered to and needs to be met. Listen to me, I am not opposed to social programs. Social programs is a good thing for a nation. I'm opposed to people abusing those social programs. And there's lots of abuse. But people's needs do need to be met. There are a certain class of people that if they don't have social programs to meet their needs, that they'll go hungry. What we need to do is learn how to help people in their need. The church is supposed to help people in their need and pick them up, lift them up so they rise above it. That's why our teaching about giving is so important.
Yes, it is.
It's not that we're trying to get in somebody's pocket. We're trying to teach you what the Word of God says. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, shall men give unto your bosom. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Man, we can beat poverty in our area. We can break the back of it. We can stop it. But people have to learn how to operate according to the Word of God. Amen. Psalms 3:3 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." A lifter up, to be high, be lifted high, to be exalted. It's saying that God is my shield, my protector, and he lifts my head. Listen, that's why as a child of the Most High God, we don't need to go around with our head down and feeling bad. No, God takes his thumb, puts it right there, and he lifts your head. He's the lifter of your head. You can be proud of who you are. Not arrogant. There's a difference.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about being proud of the Most High God. He's your Father.
Yes, he is.
And you are a child of His. A son, a daughter, a prince, a princess. Glory. First thing is obedience to God's will. The second thing is spy out the land. And the third thing is just keep moving, people. I'm going to stop right there. I've got some other things to share with you. We're going to stop there this morning. Ask everyone to stand with me. I believe God's will is for His people to do a kingdom work wherever we are, to change things. You see, when the atmosphere changes, things begin to change, because that's the spiritual realm. And the atmosphere changes when God's people have the right attitude. When we recognize, hey, We do have some authority. We do have some position. We do have a mighty God. I want you to get away from this place today knowing that you have a specific calling and a specific responsibility to do kingdom work this week when you go out there. You're going to encounter people that need what you have. And I'm not telling you to go around with a Bible and beat people over the head with it. That's not ministry. That's religion. I'm talking about meeting people's needs. If somebody needs a dollar, well, I wouldn't go very far with it. They're going to need more than that. You'll give it to them. Get you what? Hot dog? Yeah. I guess so. If they need your time, if they need your prayer, that's real ministry. Let's close. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come forward. Elders, if you have any prayer needs, you'd like to hear a word from God, people are going to be here this morning to pray with you. If you'd like to be anointed with oil for healing, I'll do that. We have a good thing going here. You're good people. I'm just so thankful that God has given me this congregation, allowed me to be a pastor here. I hear stories from pastors all over the place. They're miserable. They're miserable because people make them miserable. Praise God. I have a people that lift me up, encourage me. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, today we just recognize that we are able to use those stumbling blocks as stepping stones to move up, Father God. And just like on the wall of Jericho, they fell down and they were kind of stacked up and they had to step on each one to get inside to defeat their enemy. Well, we're coming, enemy. We're coming after you. We're going to take the territory that God has given us. We have a 50-mile radius that we believe that God has given us, and we're going to move into that area, beginning with our Jerusalem.
Amen.
And we're going to meet the needs of people and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Things are changing. There is a shift coming. There is power being released. There is revival in our future. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a great day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way.
Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.